Denise is going to come first in a moment and share about Romania. I'm looking for Denise. I think she's still there. Oh, she's there. She's lurking. I couldn't see her behind Martin. I just want to say as preface, originally I was going to do... this Sunday was supposed to be... Chris Smith was going to share on something. He had a good talk. And then hasn't been so well. And so we postponed it. And then I put a title down, The Church is Bigger Than You Think. And I thought, well, we'll do something on mission. And I was prepping a whole load of stuff on this. And then I thought, well, Denise needs to come and share about Romania. So I thought she's going to come. And then it became clear as well that it would be really good to have an update on Waymakers from Jackie. But all I'm going to say is, and this seems probably irrelevant at the start, but just to preface both of what they're going to share, and then I won't say anything in between, and perhaps we'll see how it goes. Perhaps we'll just say a brief prayer for them both at the end. When I was a youngster, I used to do scouts, and I went on a scout camp, a week-long scout camp, and it seemed like an eternity. It was a very long time, and it was quite a difficult experience for me in some ways. But one thing I remember, and this wasn't anything to do with the trauma of it, I'll tell you about that afterwards if you're interested. There was a lad who was experimenting with seeing if a tea bag could last all week. And so he would make his cup of tea, and then he'd carefully hang the tea bag up to dry, and then he'd use it again. And from what I remember, I think it started to lose its flavour, I think. I don't think it did last all week. I can't remember how many cups of tea he was having a day. I mean, you know, if he was doing one cup of tea a day, maybe it would have worked. But someone has said about mission that some people have what's called a used tea bag mentality to mission. In other words, we give the dregs of what we're doing in church for mission. You know, whatever's left, that goes to mission. You know, our main thrust is elsewhere. And of course, that's not what God calls us to. We're missional as people. If we're not a missional people, we're not a church. We become a social club. And so mission is so important, which is why we're putting it front and center and giving prime time for people to share about mission. And I could talk for ages, but I won't, because I want Denise to share. So if you come up, Denise, what I'll do is I'll pray for you, but also for Jackie at the same time, if that's all right. Again, we'll be, you know, Holy Spirit reaches even to the back row, even to the back row. Who on the back row is getting a touch of God today in the worship? Look at that. Yeah, you see, even the furthest back row. Okay, good. Well, let's just pray, and I'll sort your PowerPoint in a minute, Denise. Okay, when you start speaking. Father, thank you for Denise. Thank you for Jackie. Thank you for these amazing ladies, Lord. They're not the dregs of the church, Lord. They're the cream of the crop, Lord. And we just praise you for what you're doing, God. I just pray you'll give Denise ease now as she shares, Lord. Anoint her with your spirit, Lord. Quicken to her the things that are most important to say. Give her joy as she shares. And I pray that for Jackie as well, Lord. We pray that they would minister life to us, Lord, and we would receive it as life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And before I start, I just want to do share a testimony that I've heard this morning. Sue Gardner just shared with me this morning that for a whole month now, she hasn't had any fits. And they've obviously sorted her medication, and her fits are gone now. So that's so good. Yeah. So I wanted to share some of my experiences from the last mission trip about a month ago. As Ben's already said, there is a mission newsletter, which has got more information on some of the points, and you're welcome to take those. And if they're all gone and you still want one, I can get some more to you. So I'm just going to start when Ben's ready. I'm just going to give you a bit of background for those of you who don't know about the One Helier Foundation. The organisation that I'm part of is the One Helier Foundation, and we work with Maranatha Missions in Romania. So in 1999, Juan Helia met Mircea Pestian on a trip to Romania. And Mircea's vision was to establish a Christian witness in every village in Transylvania. And Ron's vision was to preach the gospel to all the world. So sort of that tied up. So they began working together. And just before his... And so Ron continued to go out and do that work with Mircea. yeah, I will tell you. I know, that's fine. So they began working together for about a few years. And then Just before Ron died in 2008, he and his wife Joan decided that they would set up a charity foundation to support mission trips going out in the world to Romania, but also at the time to India and other places. And then just after, they didn't finally set it up before he died, but in 2009, the charity was finally established. So that's what's been happening since. And after his death, Mircea's church held a Thanksgiving service, and there's now a permanent memorial outside Mircea's main church to him. I was going to show a little video, but it hasn't worked. Okay, move on. So this is the objectives of the foundation: to further the Christian faith, to encourage people to be involved in overseas short-term mission, to provide opportunities on the mission to gain in confidence and sharing the gospel, personal testimony and short words of encouragement. So that's definitely happened to me over the years I've been going. And to support people, ministries and projects overseas, both practically and financially. And that's happened to we as a church often support the ministry financially and by obviously by sending people out. Next, please. So this is just an idea of where Romania is. So it's a map of Europe. So if you can see, it's sort of the pinky one in the middle. So Ukraine is right sort of on the top of that. And then this is Romania. So the county, if you like, that we go to, Salaj. So we're not quite at the top next to Ukraine, but we are very much in the north. And they did send convoys from Mircea's area over to Ukraine with various help. Okay, thank you. This is the sort of things that we get up to when we're out there. Church meetings, women's meetings, children's meetings, praying and encouraging people, and a youth camp in the summer. We stay in various accommodation. The top one is Mitch and Maria's house, where Joan and I stayed this time, and the bottom one is a couple called Doreen and Serena, where John stayed, and Toby usually stays in that house with that couple. There are now another couple of families that are in that same village that are going to accommodate people, which is good for when we have bigger teams. So this time I was involved in a youth meeting. You can't actually see the youth, but you can see me with the the couple that were leading it. There used to be an older lady that sort of took charge of all the youth meetings in this church, but she's having a year off. And so four different couples are taking in turns now to run that, and this is one of the couples. The second picture is a church with the gypsy children in it, and they're singing, using their phone, and they're singing along with their phones, the girls, and my puppet that I took out to tell the stories. We also went, going back actually, I used to do more of the children's work, but I'm feeling now that my role there is not with the children really particularly, it's more with the ladies and encouraging the ladies, so it's moved on in the last year, I think. We went to this gypsy family. There's more details about the actual gypsy family in the on the sheet. This is in their house, and this is a lot of their children, and you can see the lady in the headscarf is the mother. So we shared a little bit with the children and then shared with the adults. And then at the end, we asked if anyone wanted prayer. And the mother wanted some prayer because she had some anger issues and she was finding it hard to deal with her children. So we prayed with her. And as it is with gypsy children, they're sort of in and out a bit. And this boy on the end here had left at some point and gone outside. And they said, could you pray with our 10-year-old son? So they went and fetched him, and it was this boy. And they said, because he's having trouble at school with his bad behaviour, and they don't know what to do with him. So John sat down with him opposite and talked with him and prayed with him and, you know, checked, do you want me to say this, you know? And that was quite nice. And he seemed to appreciate the fact that, you know, we were praying for him, so that was good. Next. This is the Maranatha pastors. They have a monthly meeting just to get together to update each other on how things are going, any problems they've got, sharing any encouragements, and they timed it so that we would be there for the march one. So they shared various things. One of them is mentioned on the mission report, so I won't go into that. But there was another story that really struck me. It was one of these, the one in the moustache or the one next to him, I can't remember which one it was. But they were Romanian, but they pastored a gypsy church. So this pastor, he decided to appoint two of the more educated gypsies to help lead him in the church because he felt they were ready for that. Then there was another gypsy man who came back from working abroad and to get money, as lots of them do, they go abroad to get money. And he came back and he didn't like the fact that these men had been chosen, so he beat up the pastor. And the police got involved and the pastor said, please don't press charges, I'll deal with it myself. No, because he knew that if the police had got involved, the charges would have been fined and would have lost all the money that he just earned from the other country. So the man was very grateful for that, obviously. And he realised he was in the wrong and he apologised. And a little while later, the chief of the police in the area came to the pastor and said, you know, what are you doing with these gypsies? It used to be like a violent area and, you know, all sorts of trouble. And we've not really got that anymore. What's happening? You know, what are you doing with them? And the pastor just said, well, I'm just preaching the gospel to them. And it's obviously having an effect. So that's good. And we also got the opportunity to pray for some people while we were there. We went into two homes of elderly couples that couldn't get to churches anymore. And we prayed, spent time chatting, cups of tea, whatever. And then we prayed with them. And we also prayed for this couple called Isaiah and Tina. Isaiah is a Romanian and Tina is a gypsy Romanian. They met actually when they were both working in Italy, but they've just got married and come back to Romania now. But they were unable to have children, haven't been able to conceive. And obviously, as a gypsy woman, you know, that's not a good thing because gypsies in their culture have lots of children. And it was quite distressing. You know, she was very happy, but it was obviously in her heart, it was distressing her. So we prayed for them to be able to conceive and have children. So we're looking for the outcome of that. But I just felt for myself, being able to pray for these people alongside Joan and John and have words for them that really strengthened me, you know, and built me up, like having to do that, you know. So that's sort of, I've done it in the past, but I did more so of it this time, I think. Okay, next. Yeah, I love this bit. There's another one of me like, oh, I didn't put that one in. This is in a place called Stupini, where in February they'd had a outreach and some non-Christians had started coming to the church. The night before we were due to speak there, I'd been really ill. And in the morning, I was better, but still not brilliant. But I decided that I was going to press on and I wasn't going to let it stop me going to do this meeting. So I went to it. And when we arrived, Mitch had told us that whatever we'd got planned, we needed to sort of tweak it a bit to preach the gospel because there was non-Christians in the meeting. So I had to adapt my talk, but God very quickly showed me how to do that and, you know, what extra to show. And Joan's talks generally were about God meeting people, outcasts anyway, so she just had continued that and adapted that anyway. So, but that was really good, and I'd just been able to listen and change really quickly, so I felt that was good for me. Next one. I know, so do I. So this is the one where I'm going to sort of talk a bit more about. The ladies in this church, which I haven't got a picture of, I just love their singing. They just uplift me. They just sing. They don't have any music, you know, instruments. They just sing, but it always lifts my spirit when they sing together. So when I was talking to them, I used the Elim theme for the year of Awake, Align and Advance. And I sort of had developed my own talk within that. Talking about awake to God, that God wants us to focus on him at the start of each day to actively seek his presence. And the idea of when you wake up, you physically open your eyes, but you need to open your spiritual eyes and your heart to God at the beginning of each day as well. To align yourself to seek God's face and his purposes for our lives and those around us. Make sure that our lives are on the right path and that we're looking, what does God want us to do? And advance, which advance is a word for moving forwards. So keep going and don't back down what God's asked you to do, and keep going and he's with you. When I was preparing, God showed me Isaiah 41 verse 13, where it says, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your hand and says, don't fear, I will help you. And when you hold someone's hand, if you're facing something challenging, it gives you support and encouragement, and you feel, yes, I can do this because someone's holding my hand. And I felt that's very much like God holding your hand in difficult situations, and you can do it because God's with you. And these two pictures, which I didn't actually have the pictures, but I described these pictures to them, where it says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. And obviously, you know, you can see the kitten is looking in the mirror, seeing the lion, which God's inside you. It's bigger than what you other people can see, sort of thing. And the shadow, you know, you're bigger than... when I originally heard this talk back in January, God spoke to me at that point about the advancing the lunch club, about introducing the prayer box, and how to do that. And we're already starting to see fruit from that. And then I talked to them about Joshua taking over from Moses. And that picture of me with the scarf is how I did it. I led them in an activity where they had to imagine taking off negative things and putting on positive things. And I used my scarf as a physical illustration of doing that. So I said to them, if they had something, like they do, most of them wear headscarves, some of them had cardigans. If they had something they could do it with, but if not, they could just watch me and imagine it as I led them. But actually, they all managed to find something amazingly and do it. Just finding my page. So it was... taking off different types of fears and putting on strength, taking off discouragement, disappointment, rejection, and putting on courage that God will strengthen them. I found, because they joined in and as I was leading them, I just found it a very moving, powerful time with the Holy Spirit there as they were joining in. And it was a real sense of God's presence in that meeting at that point. Okay, next. Some dates. There's a children's day camp coming up in summer, August the 5th to the 12th, which Toby and Charlotte are going to be leading. It's slightly different to what we've done before. They've organised a youth residential camp, and then we've gone and helped with that sort of thing. But they've decided now not to do that, so they're going to have day camps. So they'll come in the day, be taught in the day, and then go home. And then come back the next day. So it's quite a new departure for us. And that'd be led by Toby and Charlotte. Going back to the pastors' meeting, I forgot to say, actually, they shared their, you know, what's experiences and how they were getting on. But we shared our vision as well, how we were thinking to move our ministry on. And one of the things was that... we need sort of new people, particularly younger people probably, to get involved, because the people that have come out in the past are all getting older and for various reasons are not able to come anymore, and we need sort of new people to come. And obviously Toby and Charlotte are the first ones of that, really. I mean, it's not necessarily having to be as young as Toby and Charlotte, it's just new people, really, I think. But as we were sharing this, one of the pastors said... he had this idea of, like, if all the pastors had a picture of Toby and Charlotte, then they could all pray for Toby and Charlotte every single day. So we've sent that, and they're hopefully doing that. So that's good. And then another mission trip, obviously, this time next year. So, yeah. And Ben's mentioned about the fundraising evening coming up. That's it, I think. And then there's just an email contact, which is on the sheet. But I just, this trip also at work gave me an opportunity, because I was they were asking me where I was going to be going and what I was going to be doing. So I was able to share before I went. And then when I came back, they were all like, oh, can you send photos and tell us what you did? So that was an opportunity at work as well that sort of presented itself because of doing this. That was really good.
Well done, Denise. Excellent.
Morning. Good morning. I'll probably talk about what's going on as if you don't know anything, then it kind of helps, doesn't it? So back in 2018, I went, really? 2018? I started a craft and community group called Potter's Heart, and it was linked to a charity called Potter's Heart that did mission in Kenya. So 2020 we went into lockdown, didn't we? And just before then we were beginning to realise that we were outgrowing. We used to meet in the Beehive, Kingsgate's premises, and it was becoming evident then that we were outgrowing it. But anyway, after lockdown we needed to look for new premises. So the group started back up again in November 2021 when things with the lockdown eased, and we now meet on a Friday morning at Shaw Community Church. In there they have a room, big room at the front of the church, don't they? So we meet there, and it's from 10 until 12 every Friday. It's called a craft and community group. Craft is not optional. A lot of people bring it but don't do it because they just talk and socialize, which is part of it. The group teach each other different crafts or share different crafts, so that's good. So up until last year, it was called Potter's Heart, but in May 2022, so nearly a year ago, John and I made the really very difficult decision to step down and step away from the Potter's Heart charity. But the craft group was always going to continue. It was thriving, so it was always going to continue. So I wanted to rename it, but I wanted to make sure that it was a name that had something to do about crafting in it, but that it also had a bit of a under-the-radar reference to God. So the craft group, craft/community group, is now called Waymakers. So God always makes a way for us, doesn't he? And we make at the group, so that's okay. So we started off as Waymakers, and after some talks with Kingsgate, I'm now really excited to say that Waymakers comes under the umbrella of Kingsgate. It is part of Kingsgate mission. Waymakers is growing rapidly, especially after lockdown. We had I had connections. I don't know how it happened. It's a God thing. With some people called social prescribers. I don't know if people know what a social prescriber is. They work with GP surgeries because it's been recognised that people don't just need pills and tablets and things, that there are other things that can help with their healing. So social prescribers, really they speak with the people and they recognise what are their interests, what you know, do they like to do and everything, and then they signpost them to different groups. So we get a lot of ladies, or have had a lot of ladies, being signposted to us from social prescribers because they're either suffering from depression or loneliness or long-term illness or all of the above. It's not obligatory way to come into the group, but it's just to, I suppose, as encouraging that we are getting people from the community. So although Waymakers is under the umbrella of Kingsgate Church, it's not a church group as such, in that there are some Christians there, but there are a lot of non-Christians there. And it's always been my belief that they can come and we show them the love of Jesus, that they recognise that there's something different. So people don't come along and talk about the Sunday sermon. They come along and talk about lives and how are you and what's going on in your life. So I'm quite proud of the fact that I know everybody by name, which is quite a mammoth tasks. We have between 15 and I think 23 was the highest number that we've had that come, and they come regularly each week. I think there's something about walking into a place and you get greeted by your name. People know who you are. It's really encouraging that friends have been made within the group. So a lot of the ladies potentially didn't know anybody. They get to know people within the group. And what I find quite heartwarming is the fact that they now meet socially outside of the group. And they support each other outside of the group, which is amazing. So I look at, and Kingsgate as well, do look at Waymakers as it's like a community outreach, but it's kind of under the radar evangelism. You know, you don't have to keep spouting on about Jesus and God for people to come to know him and recognise him. Hopefully they see it in us, in the people that are there. I've got some ladies that have been there right from the beginning. Some people are new. They all help each other tremendously. The other amazing thing about this, it's always about connections, isn't it? Anything mission work or, you know, anything like this, it's all about connections. So the connections now are that there are other groups. So on a Tuesday, Shore Community Church does a knit and natter group. And some of my ladies go to that, and some of the ladies that have gone to knit and natter can't now come to Waymakers. There's a lovely feeling of socialing because of Sunday Lunch Club. So a lot of my ladies now go to Sunday Lunch Club, and then people that they've met at Sunday Lunch Club then come along to Waymakers or knit and natter. There's this very connection thing going on. So Potter's Heart was, when we were involved with Potter's Heart was very connected with Kenya. And to be truthful, Kenya is engraved on my heart. And through all of this, I cannot get my passion for Kenya and the people of Kenya out of context, sort of thing. So we continue to stay in communication with Pastor Jonah in Kenya. I mean, Lizzie knows Pastor Jonah, and so does Toby. Wonderful man who has community written right across his heart. Very, you know, community spirited. And he's desperate for us to connect with him and get involved. And just as a word of engagement, he pastors a church in a village called Mitimingi. A Mitimingi church and Jonah pray for us as a church, pray for you guys regularly. He told us that the other day, didn't he, Ben, that they pray for us regularly. So John and I are sort of praying or have been praying, haven't we, the way forward with the connections with Kenya. And had one of these God instances in August when I was at David's tent and speaking to a lady there, and it came up about Kenya. And she said, oh, I know a charity out there in Kenya that I support every now and then, and, you know, what's your heart? You know, and I'm saying, well, my heart's for the younger generation. My heart is for the ladies. And she said, oh, this group, it's called the Beehive Foundation. And I'm like, you know, when your ears prick up because, you know, the connection with our property, the Beehive. So I looked up about the bee. She said, I haven't got a clue where it is, but look it up. So I looked up the Beehive Foundation, bearing in mind that Kenya is a very large country, and it was in Nakuru, which is, yeah. Toby understands the relevance of that because when we were going out there, we would stay in Nakuru and we would do work in Nakuru. And Mitimingi Church is about half an hour, 40 minutes away from Nakuru. And you know when you just sort of get that tingly feeling, don't you? And you sort of, oh, maybe this is a bit of a God incident. So the Beehive Foundation, I've now connected with the Beehive Foundation and just explained a few things. So we're now connected with that, I'll tell you. But the Beehive Foundation is a British couple that they have two properties that they rent out in Kenya. And they take in to these homes young girls as young as 10 that have either been abused or raped or have had to make decisions in their life to survive and, you know, feed themselves and everything. So they've had to make decisions about how that's done. And girls can often get a very raw deal in places like Kenya. So these girls come to the Beehive Foundation pregnant. They're all expecting babies. Now, they've either been cast out by their families and their communities, or they're in desperate situations. Now, this couple take these girls into this home, and they support them through their pregnancy. They support them through the birth. They support them through the learning and bringing up of their children. When the babies are old enough, they send the mums, who are children themselves, back to school to finish off their education. If they're so in some instances they can be too traumatized or there's too much damage, so they can't go back into education, but they can do vocational education. So the idea is that probably by the time their babies are 6, 7, 8, something like that, that they are then placed in a job. And they can either go back to their community, back to their families, or they'll place them somewhere close by and continue supporting them. So it's a huge commitment, isn't it, to do that. You know, you're not talking about just kicking them out once they've had their babies and they know how to look after them. We're talking probably 8 years here. So one of the ways that that they function is that you can sponsor a young mum and a baby. So what has happened in talking to the ladies in the craft group, we are now sponsoring a young mum and a baby. So this young mum is called Jackie. And she has a four-month-old son called Joseph. Jackie has sort of quite a traumatic background and history, which includes FGM. Which meant that it was not appropriate for her to have a natural birth. So part of the fundraising was to be able to pay for her to have a cesarean section. Now, there is a certain amount of free-ish medical help in Kenya, but basically if she had the free option, she would be two in a bed, and the nursing and staff would probably not be very nice to her. So she had a cesarean just before Christmas, and because the ladies that come to our craft group, there's always homemade cake, tea and coffee, and they make donations every week. And I've can say wholeheartedly that since we've been sponsoring this young girl, they have taken it on hook, line and sinker and donate very generously, because they just love the idea of what they're doing and they love the vision. I also, just after Christmas, I sent a package to the British couple that were over here for Christmas, and they took back with them that the group had helped to put together over 50 reusable sanitary towels, 25 drawstring bags to house said things, and quite a lot of knitted hats for young babies. So the group now has this focus and this vision, and I just love the fact that Waymakers is mission here and it's mission in Kenya, and that the two link. You know, the ladies are helping the people in Kenya, and Kenya, they're praying for us and, you know, linking with us. So it's been very fruitful. And that I think they love the idea. Sue comes to, and Heidi comes to the group, don't you? And Sue, thank you. Sue is one of the ladies that came to group and has then since come to church, haven't you? And been baptised, and, you know, it's amazing. And as she just said, it's been life-changing for her, because you now have a unit of friends within the group as well, don't you? Yeah, that they socialise outside the group and you get support from them, don't you? So everybody supports each other. One lady that came along, her first week we came along, I said to her, well, today we're doing an activity where we're cutting out the patterns for the reusable sanitary towels. And she said, I went home in a bit of shock thinking, I think I've just found something that's going to change my life, but I never thought it would be through sanitary towels. So really, with Kenya, the younger generation are the ones that we need to be reaching out to. And that's the amazing thing. Where did I get to? So the group as well just recently had a also almost like a whip round for donations for Pastor Jonah, because he'd sent a message saying that he had secured 30 sponsored places in schools for children that couldn't afford. So just to be clear, if you want to go to school, it's not free in Kenya. There is money to pay, so lots of families can't afford it. And you also, so he'd secured 30 places and had got 30 people quite quickly. One of the dilemmas there then is that you then still can't go to school unless you've got a uniform and books. So, and the other thing was that he was saying that because they've had quite a few years of disaster with their crops, because they tend to get there where it's not enough rain or there's too much rain. So not enough, the plants die, too much, they get washed away or they wilt and everything. So they've had a couple of years now where their crops have failed. So he was talking about seeds. So Waymakers, when I spoke about what he was asking for, I just had money just wadged in my hand, you know, to give to them. So just about to send that money so that Jonah can buy seeds for the people that are really in need. And it goes along those lines, doesn't it, of give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, give him a fishing rod and teach him how to fish, he'll feed himself. So give him seeds and they'll grow their own crops and they'll save a certain amount for seeds for next year. So it just has a good knock-on effect. It's a lovely group of people. I believe that because the love of Jesus is shown there, it kind of reflects in the atmosphere. A lot of the ladies make things or bring things. So sometimes we have a bit of a bric-a-bracky thing at the back, you know, where people buy and sell things. They also, things that they make, we might sell those within the group. So just as a, for instance, I've got two quilts, handmade quilts that I've brought today that John's up there, that if anybody's interested, we're looking to sell them to raise money for the Beehive Foundation. So they're there. It's also very exciting. I'm quite excited to say that we are in talks with Kingsgate Church about the way forward, about how much more the work of Waymakers will be expanded into Kenya, and perhaps that there could be a link between Pastor Jonah and Mitimingi Church. So yeah, it's all very encouraging. Anybody interested in those, do come and see me. If there's anything that I haven't covered, I didn't do a PowerPoint because it's one of those tenuous ones where permissions for people's photographs and like the girls with the Beehive Foundation, but if you are interested, just Google B Beehive Foundation Nakuru, and you can see all the pictures and read up. Or if you've got Facebook, just do a search for the Beehive Foundation and you can follow them and get updates and see pictures of the most gorgeous little babies. So cute. And the mums and updates. So, yeah, bless you. Thank you for listening, guys.
For those who came along on the... Was it
Mission Prayer?
They'll also know, because Jackie hasn't said this herself, that as Denise was saying, we're always looking for people to come along alongside. Now, Jackie's put out a fleece because the ladies actually want to do 2 days a week. Now, it's quite a commitment to do 1 day a week, but to do 2 days a week is an even bigger commitment. But that fleece is out there at the moment. So, but from that perspective, obviously, Jackie can't do all this on her own, and she does probably 98% of it on her own, as we do. So just to put that out there, this is a, you know, this is a, if you like, a church. This is our church outreach. This is our family outreach. And Ben's going to share a few other bits of things that we're involved in. But we are all in this together. We're all in mission together. Wherever we are, whatever we do, we're on mission. So, yeah, if any of that touches your heart, then please get in touch with Jackie.